Well, it's very good to be with you this morning. I've been in Chicago now for about 2 weeks. I was here at the invitation of Mayor Daley. He had a conference of mayors that have come in from various parts of the world for, you know, the problems of the city are just so great that we thought we'd get together and see if we could come up with some sort of solutions. In my country, we don't call them mayors, but we call them rulers of cities, but it means essentially the same thing. The only problem was that here I was, I came for some answers, and I'm the only one in this whole group that at this conference this past week that was a ruler of, you know, mayor over 10 different cities. All these other guys, they think they have problems just ruling over one city, and here I've got 10 to worry about, and you know, there's just no comparison. So I have to admit that the conference really didn't live up to its expectations, and it was a bit of a flop, but I did get a free trip to the States out of this thing, and so for that I'm grateful, because then I could be with you this morning. You may wonder, you know, how in the world did one person, since it's not so common with you people over here, how did one person ever get to be a ruler over 10 cities, since you know, basically just do one? And so when they asked me to share a bit of testimony with you this morning, I thought, well, I can share with you a little bit about how that all came about. It had to do with this coin that I'm holding up right here. In my country, we call this a manah. And, you know, another thing I like about you Americans is you've learned how to get away from the valuable stuff, you know, like gold and silver. You put your money on paper. I'm going to take that one back with me, because I thought that's a pretty good idea. You just print up paper and pass that out, and people, you teach them how to spend paper instead, and you keep all the gold. I thought, that's pretty good. I don't know how you did it, but it works pretty well. And so I went ahead and I passed out, you know, I tried some down at the local shop here. It's probably not the best quality of money, but I hope all of you have one of these little souvenirs from my country, the manah, and you can take that away with you there. If you don't, I'm sure the ushers will have some at the back. It's very cheap to make this stuff, so we can make some more and get it to you if you need to. But seriously, though, I really would like to share with you a bit on how I came about getting this position. I was in my country. I was a very poor boy. In fact, I don't even know who my parents were. I was an orphan, and the ruler of this country took me into his house, and I used to have a little bed right in the corner of his kitchen there, and I would take care of the dishes and keep the kitchen clean, and it was a very large place. I tell you, there were dozens of servants, and people were coming and going all over the place. It was very important, very exciting for a little boy like myself to be a part of that. And this master that he had, that I had there, he was a very, how shall I say, just a very warm, compassionate sort of man. You know, when you were around him, you felt like he wanted to be there. I didn't really feel afraid, but I seemed somehow to be drawn to this man. And well, you know, I grew up there over the years, and there's some strange stories. You know, when you work in the kitchen, you hear everything that's going on. Everybody's talking. The waiters come in and say, "Did you hear such and such?" You know, and, "Oh yeah, I heard that." And, "Did you hear such and such?" And one day they came in with this rumor that the master of the house was going to leave. He was going to go away to another country, a far country, in fact, to receive a kingdom, another kingdom from his father. Well, you know, the rumors come and go, and we just didn't, you know, that was another thing to talk about over the dishes. But weeks went on and months went on, and by this time, you know, I was a young man. I was probably, maybe around 20 years of age. And one day, the master called 10 of us to come into the big room of the palace. And I was one of them. And so he called us all in there, and I looked down the line, you know, and my goodness, there was Zahir. Now, Zahir was the captain of the guard in this palace there. He carried a big sword and had these big muscles, you know. And boy, I tell you, when Zahir walked down the hallway, you went the other way. He was a guy you didn't want to mess with whatsoever. But he was there in the line, and Adib, he was there. He was the chief accountant. He kept track of all of the money of the master, and you know, a number of others. We were all 10 of us were lined up there, and there I was. So I was wondering, what in the world is going on here? What are we going to be doing? And the master came in, and he wasn't a man for many words. He simply came up to us and he said, "I'm going away to a far country. My father has called me to receive a kingdom, and I want you to do something for me while I'm gone." So he came up to each one of us and he gave us one of these coins, a manah. And he gave one to Zahir, and he gave one to Adib, and he gave one to each of the others in the line, and he gave one to me. One simple coin. And then he stood back a few steps, and he looked at each one of us, and he simply said, "Go, buy, and sell for me." All he said, "Go, buy, and sell for me, and I will come back." And with that, he turned around and he got on his great horse. And in our country, we use horses still. It's a bit strange, but we still do. And he got on his horse and he went away along with all of his servants, and out the gate they went. And that was the last. Well, my mind, you know, you can imagine. Here I was. I've been a servant all my life, just working in the kitchen. I had never seen something like this before. You have to work a long time in good business in order to earn one of these things. So like about half a year's worth of work. So here I am, I'm lying on my bed at night and wondering, what in the world am I going to do? He told me he wants me to go buy himself for him. Well, the only thing that came to my mind was, I knew Abdul was going down there. I knew Abdul was one who was very shrewd. He did all the buying, that sort of thing. So I said, tomorrow I'm going to follow Abdul. I'm going to do what he does. So I did. I get up early in the morning, all excited, got all my work, my chores out of the way, and went down and into the market with Abdul, and I saw what Abdul did. Abdul, he went one place, he had his manah, and he was buying some things there, and he was selling some things there, and, you know, and it seemed pretty straightforward. And before long, he had a bit more than what he started with. I said, this doesn't sound too bad. And back the next day, I decided to try it myself. And I did. And it was going pretty well. And day after day, I would go down to the market, I would buy, you know, some maize meal, and I would, a large amount, and I would sell it in a little shop. I would buy some bolt of material, you know, to make clothing out of, and I would sell that, and all sorts of things. One day, I even decided I was going to get into the camel business, you know, and you get down there, and you have to check the camels over really well before you buy a camel, because you can really get stuck, and these guys over there really know how to stick you with camels. And you get up, and one of the things you have to do, you got to look at their teeth, and you pull their, have you ever smelled the breath of a camel? I tell you, they don't use close-up toothpaste in this business here. But there, I bought a camel, I was able to sell it. Before, I was getting pretty good at all of this. You know, as the days went on and the months went on, I began to realize that, you know, I was pretty busy at this. I was making a bit of a profit and things were going well. But, you know, I looked around, I hadn't seen Zahir. Zahir had sort of disappeared. You remember Zahir? He was the captain of the guard, the big guy with the muscles and the sword and so forth. After a few days, he just never showed up again at the market. He never was, and I went back and I was asking to some of the other, what happened to Zahir? He said, oh, well, I mean, he went down the first day and some of the people in the marketplace, started to make fun of him because he was working for our master. And you know, our master isn't popular with everyone in the city. You remember that? And I said, well, yeah, a lot of people have criticized me and they've made fun of me, you know, and tried to pushed me out of the market a couple of times. But you mean Zahir was afraid of that? Yeah, he came back up and he hasn't been back there since. I said, wow, that's strange. And I watched some of the others. Oh, Abdul, he's a pretty clever guy. And I watched him as he went down to the market each day, you know, and I realized that Abdul, he was you know, some people go to do good, others, you know, do well. And his year, he was, Abdul was doing quite well at this. he'd be, you know, one for the master and two for me, and one for the master and three for me, before long he would have a little bit for the master, but boy, old Abdul was really doing quite well, and I thought, all right, you know, I'm not very smart, I just don't have a lot of education, and I was just in servant in the kitchen, I'm pretty simple, and all I remember, though, was the master saying, go buy and sell for me. I thought, maybe Abdul knows something that I don't know. But I thought, no. The master is somebody that I love. He's somebody I know from all of these years. I know he loves me. And I know he wouldn't tell me to do something that he didn't mean. And I want to do what he says. So I just went on about my business. Oh, I got pretty good. I sent a few caravans off to Basra, and once or twice they got robbed, and I almost lost everything I had. But I kept in business, and things got better and better as I went. And sitting in my shop one afternoon, and I was counting the coins. Remember the manah? I had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. My, that's pretty good. Started with 1, I have 10 now. What can I do now? What can I invest in? There's got to be something involved in here. And just at that time, there was sort of a noise that came across the city. And it was like a wind that blew across the city, and people were running, and some were running toward the city gate, and some were running away from the city gate, and I simply grabbed one person as they ran, but what's going on? He said, the master has come. I said, the master has come. And I tore down the street toward the gate of the city. And there were crowds that were climbing up on the wall of the city, and out in the distance we could see a whole spring. In the distance, great white horses. And on these horses, even at that distance, we could see that there were great men on these horses. We could hear the march of the beat drum just going boom, 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 the trumpets blowing. Slowly they came toward the city. The gates of the city opened, and the horses stood back, and down between the two of them came my master. I said to the person beside me, that's my master. I used to work with him in the palace. He's a wonderful man. Rode by on his horse, and he came into the city. The gates closed, and I knew he was going on to his palace. Oh, I walked back to my shop, and I was, all of a sudden, my mind was just filled with all sorts of those marvelous memories that you have, you know, of growing up, and that kind face, that loving spirit. I wonder if he'll ever call me in and I'll see him again. Well, I didn't have to wonder for very long, because within a few hours, two of these great ones came marching down the street. And I sort of hid back in my shop. I didn't want to have anything to do with these guys. And he stopped right in front of my shop, and he said, are you? And I said, I am. And he said, the master wants you to come for the accounting. I said, oh my. When? Right now. So I quickly closed up my shop. I put on the best clothes that I had, nothing nice like this here. It was just the best that I could do. But I went up to the palace. I walked in, and there was something different about that place. The flags of the empire were all over it. These great ones. My, these great ones. I just can't describe them. But they were everywhere. And I walked in, and one of these great ones standing by the door said, go to the great hall. I went to the great hall. The doors were open. And I walked in. lion on either side. It's a very fearsome place. I could see way down at the end a great chair, and my master sitting on that great chair, and he stood up as he saw me coming, and he walked toward me. Before I had a chance to fall on my face, he embraced me, put his arms around me, and said, "Welcome." It was that same face. How attractive. How compelling. He looked at me and he said, "What did you do with the manna that I gave you when I left?" Well, I got sort of excited as I thought, well, I've got, and I was just about to tell him, and I looked all around this place. I mean, you can imagine, there were shields, and there was gold, and there were jewels. It was magnificent. And here I was getting excited about my 10 little manna that probably were just a drop in the bucket in terms of the wealth of this great king. And I said, "Well, Master," I said, "you gave me a manna, and I have 10. They're yours." And he smiled at me and he said, "Well done! Well done! You've been faithful with this. I'm going to make you ruler over in 10 cities." Now that's how I got into this mess. 10 cities. One by one, the others came in. One by one, and he rewarded them. Some invested their 1 and got 5. The only one he was really upset with was old Zahir. He really got upset with him. "Zahir, why? You of all people, why could you not have taken that 1 that you have gotten, at least put it in the bank, instead of hiding it under your kofia in the room?" Zahir didn't know what to say. Oh, he was still part of the kingdom, but he lost his reward. He lost the joy of being able to give something to his master. Master got very serious at that point. And he turned to some of those great ones on the side and he said, "I want you to bring in all of those who would not have me to be king in this city." Now, as I said, we knew that there were a lot of people in this city who did not want my master to be ruler. And they did everything they could to go against him. And they came in, and it was a sorry sight. You can't imagine. It was a sorry sight. They came in, "Oh, Master," and they sniveled, and they, "If we had only known, we would have been supportive of you. Oh, if we had only known, we would have honored you as our king." I wondered what the Master was going to do. He turned to those great ones, and he said, "Come in front of me." And it was done. I cleaned the place. That evening we had a celebration like I'd never seen before. And all of us were there. The Master was celebrating with us. He called us his friends. Amazing. He's the servant boy from the kitchen. He's calling me his friend. That's the kind of person he is. The way he loves. We went out and days went by and it was just a time to be excited and a time to just reflect. And I thought to myself, my goodness, why? What was it that really drew me to go buy and sell for this man? I mean, I could have done a lot of things with that money. I really could have. And I admit, I probably, when I first started out, it was just because I was scared not to do anything else. You know, the more I thought about it, I realized that, you know, the Master, when he was getting the accounting from each one of us, he seemed to be very unsurprised as to what he got back. You know, he seemed to be receiving exactly what he expected. It was as though he had already known what we all were going to do. And that he was giving us the privilege of participating with him. And I thought again, and again, that wasn't what started me to do that sort of thing. As I said, it was probably more fear, but as I thought back, you know, when I made some choices, it really was because he loved me, and I loved him. And the more I understood about that love, the more I wanted to do something for him. I didn't do it because I had to. Oh, I know it wasn't a perfect motive. I did it because he loved me, and I loved him. Amazing. Isn't that amazing? Thought too, you know, he gave each one of us the same amount of time, and told us to go and do with it what we saw best. Well, I could go on. I think I'm going to stop and at that point in my story. It's been good to be with you this morning. I hope that my testimony has had a bit of a interest to you as well. It means everything to me. This story, of course, is one that was told by Jesus. And of course, Jesus is the one who went away to receive the kingdom from his Father. And he's given each one of you and me a manah to invest for him. Our gifts, our abilities, our possessions. Some as missionaries. Some as business people. Some as professional people, some as teachers, some as homemakers. Whatever your gift, God has given that to you to invest for him, because he loves you and wants you to respond to his love by your service. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the marvelous love of our Lord Jesus Christ, which shows your heart for this entire world. This morning, Father, we have been in your presence in many ways from 9 o'clock on, and we thank you for that. How amazing to think that you are interested in us. How much more amazing to realize that you love us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for giving your life that we might have eternal life. Bless us, we pray, with your presence and direction in our lives. For we pray this in the name of our Master, Jesus Christ, who is also our friend. Amen.